You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
It was an amazing sight captured by the Hubble Space Telescope.
NASA released an amazing photo of two galaxies merging into one. The space agency says it originally believed the picture was that of one abnormal galaxy, but further research determined that it's actually two galaxies that collided and are now becoming a single structure. Eventually, the new galaxy will become stable. The new galaxy is located about 230 million light years from Earth in the Hercules constellation. I'm Tammy Rose.
Oil prices are at an 11-year low as the crude market continues to suffer from a supply glut. The Wall Street Journal says oil prices slid further this morning because of a strong dollar overseas and weak economic readings out of China. Brent crude fell 4% on London's futures exchange, and West Texas Intermediate was down over 3% on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Nearly 90,000 pounds of beef products are being pulled from Walmart shelves nationwide. The Huskin Meat Company says some of its Sam's Choice Black Angus beef patties could be contaminated with wood. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The following was recorded at a Burger King drive-thru at breakfast.
Good morning. Welcome to Burger King.
Hey, Sweet Pea. I'm going to get the two for $5 bacon, egg, and cheese for sandwich.
Oh, I've never heard that before.
What, Sweet Pea?
No, the way you pronounce croissant.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. You love it, or oh, my, just give me my breakfast.
Piled high with thick-cut bacon or savory sausage, fluffy eggs, and melted cheese. Get two croissant sandwich breakfast sandwiches for just $5, only at Burger King. And for more great deals, download the BK app. Limited time only. Price and participation vary.
The House is set to vote today to repeal the Affordable Care Act and defund Planned Parenthood. Speaker of the House Paul Ryan tells Fox News Hannity that they want to put legislation on the desk of President Obama.
We could never get through the Senate filibuster, so we use the one rule, the one tool we have a year. We call this reconciliation, so we can get around the Senate filibuster to get a bill on his desk defunding Obamacare and Planned Parenthood.
The Senate passed the legislation late last year, so it will be sent to the White House, where it awaits a certain presidential veto. Congressional Republicans are not expected to muster the necessary votes to override a veto. This week, White House spokesman Josh Earnest criticized ongoing GOP efforts to do away with what has become known as Obamacare. The health care reform law has survived two serious challenges before the U.S. Supreme Court.
We want to put bills on his desk that say who we are, what we believe versus what he believes, and that he will veto. Then we'll have a veto override vote on that later in the month. But this is the first time we've been able to get on his desk a bill going after Obamacare and Planned Parenthood.
We've heard that an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Julia Zampano with the Cleveland Clinic says there's a lot of truth behind the old saying. Zampano says foods that are rich in vitamins C, B, and E are the most effective when it comes to warding off illness.
Try to eat a variety of foods. So trying to eat fruit and vegetables within every color scheme of the rainbow, because you're getting all the different vitamins and nutrients from all those different colors.
Citrus fruits such as oranges, grapefruits, and tangerines are good for vitamin C, which is your body's connection to the immune system. I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Good morning. Actually, good afternoon. The weather for Hunterdon County. It is currently 31 degrees and sunny, with a high of 38 expected. Tonight will be mostly clear with a low around 16. Thursday, tomorrow, will be the high of 42 and sunny. And then Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low of 26. Friday, slight chance of rain after 1 in the afternoon. And the high near 45. And rainfall likely Friday night. Chance of precipitation 60%. And the low will be around 35. Saturday, chance of rain. And on Sunday, chance of rain. Most days being in the either high 40s, low 50s. So it looks like a damp weekend ahead of us. It is currently 12:06.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Oh, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira-Roll. I am a licensed professional counselor. I have a practice here in Flemington, New Jersey. And as a licensed professional counselor, I am concerned about mental health. I like to couch it in terms of mental health rather than mental illness. One of the things for myself that I am very passionate about is removing the stigma around mental health and to seeing to it that for people who are struggling with issues around depression, anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorder, grief and loss, relationship issues, post-traumatic stress disorder, addiction, and families who are struggling with addiction, that they feel comfortable in reaching out and getting the help that they need. I think that that is extremely important. And that is what I do. I am a mental health practitioner, though my license is through New Jersey as a licensed professional counselor. The main reason that I have Counselor's Chat and that I do Counselor's Chat, though promoting my small business through the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce is one of the reasons. I actually am not sure if I've ever even gotten a client in the 4+ years that I've been doing my show. And that is not as important to me as removing the stigma from people who are ashamed and embarrassed of having mental health problems. And so frequently, even people who are struggling, they know they're struggling. They don't want to go to counseling. They figure they can handle it on their own, and they don't realize that they don't have to be suffering with anxiety. They don't have to be suffering with depression. You don't have to be suffering with depression or with anxiety. You don't have to be suffering with any of the mental health issues that affects human beings. And the interesting thing is, out of all the animal kingdom of which we are part of, human beings really are the ones, more than any other animal, that are affected and afflicted with mental health issues. There are occasions where we have the rogue elephant, or bear or something like that, which seems to go off path. But those cases are much rarer. The more human contact that animals have, the more likely they are to be affected by mental health issues, believe it or not. So, human beings can make other creatures crazy, to say, put it that way. But we do a fine job of doing that all on our own, to ourselves, to our children. And some of it is genuine biological, chemical imbalances in the brain. And we like to think that our brain is infallible. The reality is the brain is any other, like any other organ in our body, can have issues. Neurotransmitters and electrical impulses are really what make the brain function. And what I mean by that is an electric impulse pushes the neurotransmitter from one neuron to the next. And that's how it talks to each other. The neurotransmitter, the chemical, like serotonin or dopamine, those are some of the ones that we often hear of, but there's many, many more than that, gets pushed from one neuron to the next. And that's the communication signal. And it does that for everything that we do, from blinking our eyes and our stomachs churning up, digesting our food, to picking up a pencil, to the words we say, to the emotions we feel. There has been some understanding, some knowledge, you might even want to Google stomach brain, that there's also some like a secondary brain system in our stomach lining, which is kind of an interesting thing. I think that's fascinating, where we get those gut feelings, and it's much more of an emotional center. So that is a real thing, you know, gut feelings. But all in all, the majority of it happens up in the cranium, up in the head. And sometimes it really biologically doesn't work correctly. We're not making enough chemicals. We're not picking up enough chemicals. And it can be everything from not getting enough nutrients, enough sleep, enough self-care, all of those things. In addition to that, we do have, and you know, this is sort of that nature versus nurture statement, we do have that also plays a huge role. So I'm going to actually take a commercial break, and I will be back in a few moments. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamir Roll, your host for today's program. I am a licensed professional counselor. That means that I am a mental health care provider. I have a small practice here in Flemington, and I see individuals. I have adolescents. The youngest person I've worked with is age 6, and the oldest, I believe, was 86. So I've worked with a wide range of ages. I've been in this field of counseling for over 30 years now. And so with that, I say I have a little experience under my belt. My practice is in its 17th year. And before that, I worked in the private nonprofit sector, mainly with people in recovery from drug and alcohol addiction. One of the main reasons that I have this program is to help remove the stigma of mental health. And so often, people do not want to get help for mental health issues. We just struggle with it. We don't want medication. And not everyone needs medication, but we're afraid that we're going to be medicated. I do believe personally that we tend to over-medicate. And one of the things that's very interesting is that talk therapy has been proven to actually work almost as well as medication, and that when you combine talk therapy and medication, you've got a pretty good chance of moving through some of the issues. One of the things about counseling is there's also some coaching involved. So one of the things that I learned as a counselor is that I counsel, that I confront, and that I coach. And so part of the confronting is when I recognize or I see someone in my practice, they're talking about something, I need to show them through my communication what I'm noticing. So I'm noticing this or I'm noticing that, or I don't know if you recognize there's a pattern. So I look for patterns. I like to bring that to people's perspective so that they gain more self-knowledge. But self-knowledge is not sufficient. It's also offering coping skills, new ways of behaving, new ways of thinking, changing belief systems that may actually be hurtful or harmful. Helping people recognize their shoulds and their can'ts and their can't stand it's and their inability to tolerate. Offering couples, as well as individuals, but couples mostly, on how to communicate in a better way. That there are other avenues to take other than staying stuck with whatever the mental health struggle that you're dealing with. Again, depression, anxiety. Do you know that 1/4 of the American population suffers from some type of mental health issue? That's quite a few. 1/4. So that's a lot of depression and a lot of anxiety. And I'm not even talking about, I don't deal with, like if I did get someone who came and said, you know, I've been diagnosed with schizophrenia. I've been diagnosed with a personality, dissociative personality disorder or identity disorder. I would refer that person out. My focus tends to be more on anxiety and depression, OCD, post-traumatic stress, couples counseling. And I would say my main thing is addiction and addiction recovery for both the individual and families. That's my strong point, codependency, those types of things. I don't take insurance. I don't take insurance for a number of reasons. One is the insurance business, for lack of another word, to me is overwhelming. Each insurance company has numerous programs and plans. And I'm a sole practitioner. I don't have a staff. And I know that some of the other therapists that I have in terms of peer support, they're finding they need staff just to manage all of the different insurance. And it dictates how long you can see a client. It dictates how much you get paid. It dictates many, many things. And for the people that I know that take insurance, they tend to be exhausted and overworked because they have to work very hard to make the money that they make because they generally don't get paid very well. The other problem is that a lot of people who are looking for mental health care providers find that they are very limited to access. Unfortunately, mental health is at the bottom of the barrel. And that, for me, is distressing. Our mental state affects so much of everything. You know, it's the headquarters, it's the hub of our being. And to put that at the bottom of care, to me, as a mental health care provider, is inconceivable. Mental health actually needs to be on the top of, not the bottom of. So to remove the stigma is so important to me. However, insurance really does not do all that much to promote. Sometimes it does not cover mental health issues, or it's very specific about what mental health issues it will cover. Or like I said, will limit a client's time in treatment. You know, we've got movies like 28 Days, and we think, oh yes, you know, people go to rehab 28 days. 28 days, why? What is so important about 28 days in treatment? And why is it that we have such a high recidivism rate? Meaning, people leave their rehab, and within a month they're back, or within a year they're back, and relapse over and over again in and out of treatment. Why is that? The reality is a good rehab keeps someone for a year or more. We know through studies that it takes a year to 2 years for people to get a good, strong recovery. Well, insurance is not going to pay for that. That's way too long. It's way too expensive. So we give people a little bit of information. We teach them a little bit of knowledge about what addiction is, and we send them off on their merry way, not really giving them an opportunity to recover fully. And so the consequence is they relapse and they return to the world of drug use and addiction, hit another bottom, hopefully don't die, get back into recovery, and it cycles around. It's very unfortunate. We really are not doing the work that we need to do as a country to provide good mental health services. There are waiting lines at hospitals for people to get mental health issues addressed. And so often we just pass over things like depression or anxiety. Many of our medical physicians, they have a little bit of education in it, but not a lot, especially addiction. Very little education. It's something that has to change. And we have to advocate for ourselves. One of the things that I know I do is I quite often call my congressman and I talk about the need for good mental health care and the accessibility to it. To have someone call a client, I have a client, I think I'm going to suggest that you see a psychiatrist. I'm going to give you a couple of names for referrals to different psychiatrists. They come back the next week. Well, it's going to be 3 months, 6 months before I get to see this person. 3 months, 6 months. That's ridiculous. And then it's just people in, people out, people in, people out. The psychiatrists rarely get a chance to actually sit down and get to know their client. They get an hour or two, maybe at the beginning of their treatment, and then it's 15 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 minutes. Just want to check on meds. How you doing? Is it doing good? Well, it's okay. It sounds like we may need to up this, add that. And that's generally the way it goes. Quick in and out. It really is the purpose, or I will say preference, that a psychiatrist refer a client to a counselor. Now, we do have people who go see social workers, licensed clinical mental health, okay, licensed clinical social workers. These are people with masters in social work who have an extra focus on the counseling aspect of social work and have a license by the state to practice counseling as a social worker. There are many, many good licensed counseling LCSWs. Many, many good, many, many good, knowledgeable. One of the things that I will say, however, social work, this focus is on social work, meaning getting people into agencies, seeing that they are getting the appropriate treatment, working in hospitals, clinics, urban centers. A lot of times nonprofits. Again, where it's agency work, a lot more agency work. Lots of statistics and those types of things. My understanding, I haven't checked recently, but my understanding is if you go and get your master's in social work at Rutgers here in New Jersey, you get one or two classes in counseling. The rest of it is women's studies, urbanization, social services, all of those types of things. Now, I've got my master's in counseling. I took one course called community counseling, which was my social work class. Otherwise, I studied theories. I studied counseling theories. I studied 9 different theorists from Freud all the way through Albert Ellis and just a number of them. And what that did is it provided tools for me in terms of how to counsel, and that was very important. I learned about group counseling. I learned about family and marriage counseling. I learned about career counseling. I learned about individual counseling, counseling ethics, counseling laws, counseling techniques. So I learned how to counsel. I didn't learn how to do social work. And that's the main difference. So if you are interested in looking up and getting counseling, you might really want to consider looking into a licensed professional counselor. That's what I am, a licensed professional counselor. I am a mental health counselor. Now, as I said, there are many good licensed clinical social workers, those LCSWs. You have a right, actually, to interview. So you might say, I'm going to see a LCSW, I'm going to see LPC, I'm going to see different, you know, a couple of different, maybe even a psychologist, and I'm going to see what their take is on counseling, how they're going to help me, what their techniques are, and who I click with, because that's also really, really important, feeling comfortable with. And what's one of the things that I say to my incoming clients, that relationship is really important. Being comfortable is really, really important, because if we're not comfortable with the person we're talking with, then we have a breakdown, because I'm not going to tell you everything. I'm not comfortable with you. It makes that counseling perspective and that counseling interaction and that counseling relationship extremely important. It becomes safe and sacred ground. One of the things that I say to my clients when they come in for the first time, there's no such thing as political correctness in my office. If you can't share what you need to share because you're afraid you're going to offend or it's not politically correct, it doesn't work. It's like going to the doctor and not telling them where it hurts in the stomach or the back or whatever that's going on. I can't really, you know, it's like saying, oh, I can't say the word ankle. So I have a hurt somewhere on my body, but I can't tell you where because I can't use the word. And we all know that's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? I need to be able to say, my ankle hurts. I sprained my ankle. There was a time when the word ankle, really shouldn't say it because, you know, chair leg, those kinds of things back in the Victorian days, believe it or not. Like, you wouldn't want to say the word leg. It's kind of silly, isn't it? Well, we do that now with words. And it really prevents people from seeking out treatment because they're afraid to say the wrong thing. Well, not in my office. You could say whatever you want to say, however you want to say it, whatever you need to say. To me, confidentiality is extremely, extremely important. Because it does that. It keeps it a safe place to talk with and deal with anything. I shouldn't be mad at my mom. I can't tell you that. It's not a good thing. Well, that means you are. Let's talk about it. It's what therapy is about. Having someone to talk to. Learning new coping skills, gaining new perspective, making changes in behavior, recognizing that you might have some belief systems that aren't working for you and changing those, learning how to be uncomfortable, learning how to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, taking steps towards good, healthy self-care, building self-esteem, living a life where you're feeling more in control of yourself rather than being controlled by the world around you. Making decisions that work for you, that are healthy for you. And that's what I do as a licensed professional counselor. So, just the other day, I think it was maybe even yesterday, President Obama had put forth his plan on gun control. And I do want to talk about this because, like I said, starting off my show, is that I am about removing the stigma around mental health. I am about encouraging people who are struggling with mental health issues to seek treatment, to open up the avenues for that. Well, this particular mandate that he's setting forth is offering monies to mental health care providers, agencies, hoping to open the door for more people to seek out treatment. Actually, I think it does the opposite. And I'm very, very concerned about that. One of the things that it does is it diminishes people who are struggling with mental health issues in that it links violence to people with mental health issues. It suggests that people with mental health issues are more violent and are more prone to use firearms. And that his key point in reducing gun violence was to beef up the mental health background checks to prevent firearms from getting into the wrong hands. Now, we can say, well, if you're of a criminal aspect, maybe you have a mental health issue. Yeah, maybe. But it doesn't do anything about the criminal aspect. It just says we're going to do background checks so that if you have a mental health issue, you may not be allowed to purchase a firearm. And interestingly enough, I have already had several instances where people, where family members actually have come to me and said, I am so concerned for my son. I'm so concerned for my daughter. Really are struggling with a particular mental health issue. Obsessive compulsive or depressed. And they really need treatment, but they love to go hunting with their grandfather and they don't want to come because they're afraid that they won't be able to get a gun to go hunting with their grandfather or their father or their brothers or whatever it is. It prevents them from seeking treatment. it really stigmatizes people who have mental health issues and equates them to people who are violent. Generally speaking, people with mental health issues actually run from violence. And there's no way of checking. There's no way of it's just, you know, a statement being made. I think this person's got mental health issues, and I'm going to report that to the FBI, and they can get checked in if they want to some point or somewhere in their history. They may have had depression. It's now in their record. Not struggling with it anymore. It's actually more common for a person who is struggling with a mental health issue to be a victim of crime than actually commit a crime. And unfortunately, we tend to sensationalize the 1 in a million cases where there is mental health illness and a crime. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It does happen. We can even say, well, if someone has been radicalized as a terrorist, isn't that a mental health issue? Well, yeah, it is. What about the criminal aspect? Why aren't we upping the laws that say if you are a criminal and you have a gun, you do jail time? If you did something criminal with a gun, you do jail time. I know I have some real concerns in terms of patient rights and the government having a database on mental health patients and mental health clients. It's very easy to use that information inappropriately. It breaks down the client confidentiality, which I said is sacrosanct. So that means if I'm going to go to a therapist, I'm not going to share everything with you because I don't want you to report me to the FBI. I don't want you to say that I'm depressed. I'm not going to tell you that I've been thinking of getting a gun. I'm not going to tell you that I've been thinking about killing myself with a gun. I'm not going to tell you that. You're going to report me. Are you kidding? I think that this is more detrimental. Now, with that being said, am I for background checks? You better believe I am. But who's going to watch? Who's going to keep our eye on? What is it that we really need? Stricter laws on guns? Or better access to mental health care? Removing the stigma? Instead of attacking spirituality in our country, why aren't we building it? Creating community, support, building relationships, making connection, instead of tearing it down. This law creates mistrust. I don't know. My neighbor's depressed. Can't trust him. What if they have a gun? You know, people who are mentally ill, they're violent. I deal with people who are mentally ill all day long. I've been doing it for over 30 years. When I have worked in private nonprofit, I have had to break up fights between residences. I have literally stepped in the middle of a fight and pulled people apart. because I know that that person who is doing whatever is not angry with me. They're not going to hurt me. They're not going to hit me. It's not about me. Are there people on the fringe? There are. Well, I need to take another commercial break, and I'm going to come back and talk about this a little bit more, wrap this up. But I will be back. I'm Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's show, Counselor's Chat.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, and I'm talking about mental health issues, the importance of removing the stigma for people to enter mental health care, that mental health matters. These are actually hashtags that I have. In encouraging people to seek out mental health. It's the very purpose of my show. And one of the concerns that I am also talking about, I'm kind of ending my show with this, is the President Obama's stance on guns and mental health. And how I believe it really stigmatizes people with mental health issues. I don't think, even though he's offering $500 million to increase access to mental health care, I actually don't think, you know, it really is. Isn't that nice? He's offering more money. I think that's great to encourage people to seek out mental health care. But then, if I go in and I realize that my psychiatrist, my counselor, my social worker, my doctor is going to report me because I'm depressed and own a gun, I would say it would prevent people from going. It is maybe an intended consequence. I don't know. It might be an unintended consequence. I don't think it's going to minimize people committing suicide. If you want to commit suicide and you don't have a gun, you'll come up with another way. if you want to commit suicide, you will commit suicide. It is the job of people like myself to intervene, and family members also to intervene. But I think it's dangerous to equate gun violence with people with mental health issues. It's just on the fringe. Quite often, gun crimes are perpetrated by criminals or sometimes acts of passion. What does that mean, act of passion? We're in a huge fight. I'm not thinking clearly because I am so angry. Not that I heard voices that said I need to go kill everyone in the movie theater. I might not be depressed or anxious or anything. I just found out that you're having an affair on me and I've lost it. For that moment, an act of passion. I think it's a slippery slope. Now, there's some states that already have laws that are similar to this. Pennsylvania has a law that prevents residents who have been involuntarily committed from having guns. Involuntarily committed. These are important words. However, Obama's law suggests that if I have a client who's depressed and wants to buy a gun, I need to report that. If I have a client who is anxious and has guns, I need to report that. So if I have a client that has obsessive compulsive disorder who also owns guns, who is nonviolent, will this slippery slope lead it to where, oh, this person has some mental health issues, they own guns, we are going to confiscate their guns? Where is the criminal aspect? Is it going to really increase access? We tend to suggest, because we hear it, so-and-so went on a shooting spree and had post-traumatic stress disorder. People with post-traumatic stress disorder rarely are violent. As a matter of fact, they run from violence. And again, I'm not saying that this is it's just a slippery slope. I'm all for gun checks. If you have a criminal record, if you, I'm going to say, you know, recovering drug addict, alcoholic, if you're recovering, how many years in recovery? You know, if you've got 5 years of recovery and you're working a good program and you want to go hunting with your dad, you've gone through a rough divorce, and you want to own a gun because you no longer have, you're living on your own now. You want to protect yourself. You're a woman. I don't see a problem with that. However, you know, it's, gee, this person is depressed and anxious because they're now living on their own and they had have some post-traumatic stress disorder because of a violent relationship, and this relationship has been over for 5 years, and they've decided they'd like to get a gun to protect themselves. Should we deny that? Should I report that person as if they're dangerous? Can I actually make that kind of a judgment? By law, I have to report if someone is homicidal or suicidal. And by what means, it doesn't matter. And I have. People who want to jump off bridges, people who want to cut themselves. I'm going to sit in my car until I've been in the garage. There's many ways. Drink myself to death. Take an overdose of something. I so want us to open up the doors and the avenues for people to seek treatment for mental health. But my job as a counselor is not to be a spy. My job as a counselor is not to report if you have a gun, if you want to buy a gun. One of the things that I do in the very first session is I talk about confidentiality, how important that is, and that by law, if I think that there's real and imminent, and this is where it was, real and imminent danger of homicide, suicide, child abuse, or elder abuse, I must report it. And do I now need to add, and oh, by the way, if you're considering purchasing a gun, or if you have a gun, I have to report that? Do you think that person's going to, would you stay? Would you get counseling? You'd look for somebody who's going to say, really? I'm not going to do that. I actually believe this is going to hurt the mental health professional, the profession, and it's going to prevent people from seeking treatment. And I'm very saddened by it. Because not only are we already mental health care providers at the bottom of the barrel, now we're going to be spies. So, it already is my job to report if I believe someone is going to be homicidal or suicidal. I've already had to do that in my profession. It's a slippery slope. It's a judgment call. It makes all physicians and mental health care providers responsible to report to the FBI. It puts a stigma on people struggling with mental health issues. And I'm very saddened by it. So, with that being said, I am a licensed professional counselor. I have my master's in counseling. I'm a nationally certified counselor. I have a practice here in Flemington. You can go on my web and view some of the things that I've done, some of my accomplishments, find out more about my practice. My web is www.altarolecounselor.net. That's Altarole, two L's, counselor, O-R.net. You can also call me at 908-237-2899, if you would like to make an appointment. I do not keep a waiting list. If you would like to make a comment about my program, please, by all means, do so. I have a counselor's chat Facebook page or Ruth Altamura Roll, MANCCLPC.